Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to In Depth, presented by the San Antonio Express News. My name is Luis Vasquez, and I'll be your host as we bring in journalists to give us an inside perspective into the stories they bring to the Express News each week. Today, I'm joined by staff writer Randy Diamond, who's on the show to talk about his story on tourism in San Antonio. Welcome to the show, Randy. How are you doing today?
Thank you. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. And actually, tourism seems to be doing good. It's finding people to fill those jobs. Can you give me a quick recap of your reporting?
Yes, sir. It's kind of a new wrinkle in the road to recovery for the tourism industry. The industry hasn't recovered 100% from the COVID-19 pandemic, but it's starting to show signs of life. But now there's a new wrinkle. Tourist attractions, the hotels, the restaurants can't find workers. And because of that, they can't operate fully. I'll give you an example. I was at SeaWorld over the weekend, the big theme park here in San Antonio. And as a promotion, they have this Seven Seas Food Festival where they have pop-up food booths from all around the world. But the Japan booth, which was supposed to be a big part of the promotion, was closed, and it had to be combined with the Korean booth because they didn't have enough chefs. So that's just one example of what's going on where these employers cannot find workers.
One of the examples that that you started off the article with was the sightseeing tour buses, and how the gentleman who runs it, he's only able to run three buses. Did I read that right? Three buses out of the six.
Right. Well, he would normally be running at this point four because we're not at the peak summer season, but he can only run three because he doesn't have enough drivers. And so it prolongs the because these are hop on, hop off buses. So if he had four, they'd run every 20 minutes. And because there's only three, they run every 30 minutes. But in addition to that, the buses sell the tour because they're seen all around downtown. And then there are different stops. So people, you know, if there are more buses, then he has more visibility and he can kind of get that impulse buy. But which he can't do. So he's even offering a sign-on bonus of several hundred dollars. But even with that, he cannot find the workers.
It's something that I had heard about not too long ago. The women's NCAA tournament was held here. Yeah, they could not find staffing. And it was pretty brutal during the NCAA tournament for a lot of my friends in the service industry downtown. I didn't know that it extended to like SeaWorld or like all across San Antonio.
Yeah, it just seems like every segment of the tourism industry. One area where it's really interesting is lifeguards. SeaWorld has a water park, Aquatica, and then there's that giant water park in New Brussels. And all of them are like hundreds of lifeguards short, which is like interesting. In fact, I believe one water park I had heard was raising their starting salary to 15 or 16 an hour from 12 last year, just to attract more lifeguards, which tend to be college and high school students. So it's interesting that this is even extending to that group.
One thing that really stuck out was the reasonings why they say that they're not able to staff up. Is they think it's because of the additional money that people get off the unemployment. Can you talk more about that?
Sure. And I think that kind of simplifies the issue. But I mean, certainly that's having an effect for some people. This is a non-tourism thing, but I went to the dentist the other day for a cleaning, and apparently there was a shortage of hygienists, and they were saying, oh, we can't wait till this extra unemployment comes back so the hygienists come back. So obviously this is affecting all industries beyond tourism, but economists I've talked to feel it's an oversimplification to just blame it on the stimulus that people can make more money staying at home. They feel that there's a number of factors. One, the tourism industry cut deeply at the beginning of the pandemic. Many workers lost their jobs, and it's generally a low-paying industry. So a lot of people reassessed what they wanted to do for the foreseeable future and found jobs in other sectors. So you have a certain percentage of people who just left the industry. Then you also have people whose children were doing remote learning and they needed to be at home so they couldn't go back to work. And then thirdly, you also have people with health issues. I was talking to a housekeeper who works at the Hyatt, and she had been laid off and she was called back, but she decided not to go back because she felt that she has kidney disease and she felt it would be too dangerous to, return to work. So, because of concerns of catching COVID. So I think there's different factors that are affecting this. Certainly for some, the stimulus, having the extra stimulus payment and making just as much as if you were working, certainly did have some impact, but it's hard to say that it's any one group. And then with the lifeguards, these are high school and college students who do this. So they certainly weren't collecting a stimulus, I would think, if they were in high school. So why aren't they going back? Are they concerned about their health and safety? I mean, I'm also trying to do additional stories on this to kind of, try and drill down on some of the reasons here.
You, just to switch gears a little bit to yourself, you cover a lot of travel and tourism related things. How has the transition been? From my end, everything seems to be coming back, snapping right back to where things were. I see a lot of people without masks. How have you seen the transition? Has it been as snappy as I see it, or have you seen it way more gradually?
I think air travel has been gradually coming back, over a period of months. So we were at, last year we were at 35% of 2019 levels in terms of people flying from San Antonio International and other airports. Then it kind of get towards the end of the year, got back to around the 50% level. And then in 2021, it's now up to 70% of 2019 levels. So for air travel, it's been gradual. But for some of these other events, it's almost been a overnight change. Like, for example, as part of my tourism beat, I have a season pass to SeaWorld and I go down there frequently to see what's going on. 2 weeks ago, I went with a friend and there were temperature checks at the front entrance, signs all over saying, wear your mask. People, park employees walking around with signs, wear your mask. At the shows, there was restricted seating, each every other row was sectioned off. So it was like total social distancing. So then 2 weekends ago again, and the reason I went because they had lifted all the rules. And overnight, there's no more temperature checks. Just walk into the park. There's no more mask requirements at the Sesame Street live show, which is in an indoor theater. Everyone is crammed in the first few rows. There's no social distancing. When you used to be, you would exit the show through the exit doors to the outside. Well, now they're back to the pre-pandemic thing where they exit you through the crowded gift shop, hoping you'll buy more merchandise. So it's just like overnight, they just like ended all COVID precautions, and even on the rides, not a seat is unfilled. Yeah, it's just crazy, you know, how they changed everything.
And before I let you go, I didn't get a chance to talk to you last year, but I'm curious how much and how your reporting and how you do your reporting was affected, and how, if things were kind of changed for you, if the way you do things changed, or if it was just like almost like a bump in the road and things, the way you report will come back, like interviews, that kind of stuff. How did you adapt during that time?
Well, I mean, as a reporter covering the business of travel, aviation, you can't really do it from your house. So I basically, would go to airports regularly. I even flew 6 times in 2019. Went to Denver, went to other cities, went to New York. So it didn't affect me as drastically, perhaps, as some other reporters, because if you're covering tourist attractions, you know, you need to go there and see what's occurring. And so I just decided to obviously be careful, wear a mask, but go on my regular responsibilities. I mean, certainly I'm working out of my home instead of the newsroom when I'm writing my stories. So there's, in journalism, there's certainly, it's fun, hanging out with your colleagues and, shooting the bull and just being part of the energy of a newsroom. So that's changed. You know, we've had our business staff meetings on Zoom as an example. But in terms of my reporting, I mean, there's always a portion of reporting interviews that you do on the phone, but I've still tried to get out there as much as I could and do those live in-person interviews.
Well, Randy, I really appreciate you taking the time to join the show. Thanks again for your reporting, and thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. I really enjoyed the opportunity. I hope to do it again soon.